This is a Defocus Media production.
This episode is presented by Theia Pharma Canada. The content in this episode has not been edited or influenced by Theia.
Hello and welcome back to the 2020 podcast, Canada's number one optometry podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, you will already tell that this is a very different setup than the usual podcast episodes because we are at Vision Expo East in New York City at the Javits Center. I'm so excited. It's been an amazing couple of days. The energy is always so incredible here. And most importantly, I get to sit down with this amazing person in person. I see I already poked you once sitting right here so close. Dr. Claudine Curry, and Dr. Claudine Curry is the founder of the Eye Drop Shop. She is a practicing optometrist, of course, overseeing three dry eye specialty practices. She's a mother of two beautiful children and a wonderful human being. And I'm so excited to finally sit down and chat and just kind of go through stuff together. And actually, maybe I'll line this up right now. We are, Claudine and I are going to be doing a series of three episodes over the next kind of year or so, I don't know, 6 months, nine months, we'll kind of spread it out and three different kind of topic discussions. And today's topic is going to be a lot more kind of focused on the entrepreneurship, business and that kind of stuff and the struggles of working in the profession. And in the future episodes, we'll talk a little bit more about dry eyes specifically and even more excitingly beauty and how that impacts eyes and dry eyes. So anyways, enough of a lead up. Claudine, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe I'm finally here. It's amazing. This is so exciting.
And the best way, like, we've been trying to kind of get this lined up for so long, but to be able to do it here in New York is so cool.
In person.
In person. I'm going to just keep plugging these, like, throw these little plugs out. Big thanks to Theia for partnering with Claudine and I on these podcasts, on these episodes, so we can bring this content to you. We'll be saying some nice things about them at some point along the way, I'm sure. So, Claudine, tell us about yourself. Where'd you go to school and... You work in Montreal now?
Yes, so I went to the University of Montreal, which is the only French-speaking optometry school actually in the world.
So, in the world?
Yeah, in the world.
Oh, crazy.
Very proud of that. It was an amazing school. I was like part of the furniture there because I did my schooling and then residency and then master's all at University of Montreal.
Amazing.
Once I graduated, I still work in private practice and I also work obviously doing dry eye because I love it. It's really something that I went into sort of through the lens of scleral lenses. Mm. And so that's kind of how I got into dry eye because I started fitting scleral lenses on dry eye patients. And that's kind of how...
Interesting.
Yeah, that was like the window.
So let's talk about that because I've seen colleagues do that.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty cool. Actually, we're just getting a topographer in our office like right now, pretty much. And we're going to start trying to do a bit more of that sclerals for different things, including dry eye. So tell me, how did you even start doing scleral for dry eye and then how well does it work?
It works so well, and currently it's kind of like one of the last lines of treatment, but I've moved it up a little bit because it really does help so many patients, and it's very straightforward to fit. It's not like our cones or post grafts or pellucids or anything like that. It's typically your spherical cornea, and the patient's eye is just basking in eye drops all day, so it really does have like a huge impact. So that's kind of how it started. My friend was working in dry eye. She's like, hey, will you do, because I did my residency in scleral lenses. She's like, hey, will you come do this? And that's kind of how it all took off on that run.
So interesting. And so right, you were saying, I've heard that it's usually kind of considered more of a last resort.
Yeah.
More if somebody's got really significant dry eye or keratitis or something. So you're using it as an earlier stage. Where does it kind of fit into your algorithm?
I would say I just bring it up sooner because I'm comfortable doing it because that's what I trained in. So let's say if I see that the patient had significant SPK and also wears glasses and wants a contact option, I won't wait till the end. I'll say, hey, what if we try this option? And I'll explain sort of the pros of it. And if they jump on board, then I'll just end up doing a lot more of it a lot sooner.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And what do you kind of expect? This is supposed to be a bit of our conversation next time, right? But we're delving a little bit into the dry eye because I didn't know about the scleral thing. I find that really intriguing because I have patients who are sitting in my chair and a lot of times I've tried a lot of stuff. It's not working that well. And I'll mention, this is a thing that we could do. I don't do it right now. So I'll probably refer you off to somebody else who could do it. Is it like effective enough that I should be sending them out or trying it to do it myself in my own office?
If you're interested in it, then you could definitely do it. It seems overwhelming, but it's not to fit a scleral lens, especially, and this goes also throughout dry eye, your best resource is the representative of the company.
Yeah, I
adore reps and I adore speaking with them. They're professionals in their own field. And so a rep will come in and sort of teach everything there is to know. So yeah. It's very doable if you're interested in it. Otherwise, I'm a huge believer in referring to my colleagues. I do that all the time for other specialties and I find it fun. And I think that's sort of how, I don't know, I like the way the profession is going in that way.
Yeah, I think that interprofession sort of referral is becoming more common. I think we're getting a bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
One of the things that like I talk about in one of my lectures is that collaboration versus competition.
Right.
And I think we've had too much of a mindset, or we kind of tend to fall into that mindset a little bit of a competitive, like, I don't want to send you my patient because you might steal that patient. But as we start to realize that there's a benefit, it's all for the benefit of the patient, and we start to get those patients coming back to us looking and feeling better, I think that's a really important aspect of practicing.
Exactly. As far as the competition, this goes for clinic, for eye drop shop, for everything. I feel like there's enough eyes to go around. You know, there's enough of everything, and I'm just not that nature. So I think that if we do have a specialty that we love, and my friend has a specialty she loves, and I don't do it as much, I'll just refer to her, and then it'll sort of come back with another case, and it's fun.
Right. Yeah, it kind of comes full circle, right?
Yeah.
She'll think about the specialty that you offer.
Sure.
That, but also, I found patients do appreciate that. Like, you're going beyond what they're expecting.
Right.
Like, I'm going to refer you to a colleague who's better at this than I am or has expertise in this area.
Yeah.
And assuming everything works out and the results come, I think it looks good on both of you. It reflects well on both doctors and building that. So we're actually trying to build out a bit more of a referral network for ourselves and these different things. We did take a bit of a tangent there on the scleral lenses. We'll talk a bit more about that next time, I think, when we dive really deep into dry eye. Because, again, you specialize in that. You talk a lot about that. We're going to really dive into expertise of dry eye and the different modalities and everything. But for today, as I mentioned, I really want to talk a lot about entrepreneurship and business, and especially the eye drop shop is something that's just remarkable that you've built.
Thank you.
And has been growing and has been getting a lot more awareness, and there's exciting partnerships coming up.
Yes.
So tell me about how it began.
Perfect. So Eye Drop Shop began because there was really a need in the market for our patients to have access to the products they wanted. So for example, if we use DLaws Duo as an example, so I prescribe everything that we do in the dry eye practice. So I would prescribe DLaws Duo, and then the patient, even if they would get it the first time in your office, after the first bottle, where are they going? Sometimes they just can't get back to your clinic. They want it to be delivered. They want easy access. And then what happens? Either they kind of go to the pharmacy and pick whatever, and then they end up back in your chair saying they're not feeling better, right? So the whole point is that we select our treatments specifically for our patients, and we want them to stay on it for a reason. So it actually started with the whole Thea line, to be quite honest. I decided to put all of that. I said, okay, what am I going to do? I can't be considered a dry eye specialist and my patients not have access to the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of did it myself at the beginning, put it all online.
That's amazing.
And it grew and grew and grew from there.
Wow.
And yeah, now we have like over 150 products and we're shipping across Canada. We have another one in the US. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's so cool. So I always, one of the questions I like to ask people, when somebody started a company like this from scratch, you had an idea. So many people have ideas.
Yes.
What's the step? If you can fill the gap between having the idea and actually setting up the online, do you know, was there like, you were just so motivated, why you versus me or someone else who was basically going through the exact same thing? What was it in you that kind of pushed you over the edge to take that first step?
It's exactly what you just said. It was, why not me? That's all. Why not try? Why not give it a shot? Because I knew the end goal was to help my patients, right? That they were going to get something that they needed in an efficient way and in a way that they were going to be happy and more practical for their daily life. So I figured, why not give it a shot? And I think that's kind of how I approach a lot of things, you know,
like, I like that.
Why not? Yeah.
That's all.
It was like just as simple as that. It wasn't even deeper than that. It's, I think this is a great idea and I'm going to try it out.
And I think that's, it's so funny that you simplified it so much, or you think about it so simplistically, is that we often overthink it. We think ourselves to death. We outthink ourselves from ideas like that. I think that's a big one. It's like, I could put this online and sell it to my patients. I don't know. And then next thing you know, it's like 3 months later and
you're onto something else.
Yeah, or somebody else has now done it.
Yes.
Right. So what did it look like in the beginning? So you had a few eye drops that you were selling, and like how would the people would go on your clinic website or your the eye drop shop website?
Yeah, so
and then
always,
you were boxing things up yourself. Like what?
Oh, 100%. I have done every single thing that we do in this company. That's now a larger company with a whole team of people because I obviously cannot do this alone. So yeah. I'm very grateful. But I've done every single thing that's involved in the company myself. I think it's important. We always see this side, right?
Yeah.
We always see like let's say me now, but like me rolling up my sleeves, boxing up the boxes at night after my kids have gone to bed, and then like bringing them to the post office, like that was me, and like me being the one calling and following up on a package. You know, that there's a lot of work that goes in it, and I think we do sort of a disservice by only kind of glorifying the fun part and not showing that it takes a lot of work, and that's
no doubt.
big portion of it. It's a lot of time. You can't just like get it. You have to put in the work, and so it really looked like me doing all these things by myself. And then at a certain point, once you grow a little bit more, well, then you're able to bring someone on board who hopefully knows more than you about the topic and let them run with it, right? And trust them to kind of go and take on that area.
Well, that's another difficult step to take, is to kind of actually let go of the control a little bit and hand it off to somebody else. But I want to go back to those early days again.
For sure.
Because you're right. I don't think we spend enough time talking about that and explaining or visualizing what that time actually felt like. What would you say was one or a couple of significant challenges that you felt at that time? And were there days where you felt like, why am I doing this? Like, it's not really worth it, or potential barriers that you were kind of overcoming at that time?
What's up, guys? I just want to take a minute to quickly thank our partner for this episode, Thea Pharma Canada. Thea is the world leader in preservative-free eye care products. Thea's flagship product, Thealos Duo, has two core ingredients, trehalose and sodium hyaluronic, which work synergistically to provide clinically proven results. But effective dry eye treatment isn't just about drops. Thea's Blepharoclean antimicrobial lid wipes ensure lid hygiene for your patients as they focus on total eye health. The newest exciting product in the Thea dry eye portfolio is a lysosomal spray called Zasprate. It soothes, hydrates, and lubricates eyes that are itchy, red, and irritated due to allergies. Be sure to contact your Thea territory rep to learn more and see how you can access these amazing products. You can also learn more at theapharma.ca. And now back to our episode with Dr. Claudine Curry.
I'm going to be honest. So like business is in my sort of family's blood.
Okay.
So it was in my blood from the beginning. And every time I get like energized by any kind of business endeavor. So anything that involves a challenge or a problem, I find that fun to have to resolve it.
Okay.
So I don't really think, if I go back, I never really had those. Definitely you have like doubts in yourself in life, but in the business, I always just kept focusing on why we were doing this and the fact that we were getting positive feedback and my patients and the reviews and everything like that was coming back. So grateful. We were shipping to Northern Canada where people had no access and
Amazing.
We were doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
That's what kind of kept me always just like motivated and to keep going. And it was always fun and it still continues to be fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's incredible that you're able to help people in places like that where they have such limited access. I feel like that's a really meaningful. It's one thing to be like, oh yeah, my patients who live around my area, that's fine. But somebody out there who's really needing it and doesn't have access to it, that's really cool.
For sure.
I did an e-commerce lecture. I give one.
Perfect.
And I did that today.
Awesome.
And I tell people that you can't just open up shop and expect people to come and buy stuff from you. Like you can't even do that in the physical world anymore, let alone the digital world.
Yes.
So how did you bring people in the first place to start bringing traffic to your website?
In the first place, it really was my patients. Then it was word of mouth. So you started seeing like orders coming a little bit from the surrounding areas of where we practice that weren't my patients. So it was like the patient's cousin or the patient's mom or whatever. And then following that, like I said, once we grow, we're able to sort of bring specialists on board who knows more than me, and I kind of just let them run. That's my style. When somebody works in our team and they know what they're doing, then they get to go and do what they know. So we did bring on a specialist who was able to kind of work on those ads and things like that. And then you got to do the Instagram and the TikTok and the you know, all those things that maybe is not the comfort zone. At least it wasn't mine. But you know that the purpose you're doing it is to get the message out for patients so that the patients can get treated and they can feel better. So you kind of like
that's amazing.
Do that.
And so actually that's such a great starting point. It started with your patients and it grew from there. And that's actually the same point that I make in the lecture is like, look, we're not right out the gate. We're not trying to necessarily reach someone across the country.
No.
We should start by extending our services to our current patient base, right?
Exactly.
We got an email bank of our database of patient emails. Let them know you have this service available. And then once you get those people coming through, you can start to grow it. So it's amazing to see that that's actually what you did and it's worked that well.
Yeah, exactly. And I run obviously a completely e-commerce business, right? But I believe that it's not just e-commerce.
Right.
It has to be in clinic as well. And these two things have to mesh together.
Yep.
So that this is the cycle of the patient.
Exactly.
So if you think of the patient, they see you, you prescribe your drop, the patient will purchase it from you. And then you get those touch points during the year because you have this online platform to allow them to engage with you.
Perfect.
Right? Your patients want to engage with you during the year. They want to know from you. So let's make it easy for them.
Absolutely. So let's talk about TikTok.
All right.
I'm taking people along your eye drop shop journey. Okay.
Sure.
We did
let's
the beginning. You were boxing things up. You
yes.
had your patients coming and buying. It's grown. Then
yes.
you had to do your own marketing to grow it.
Yes.
Which was like
yes.
Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
And on a previous episode of my podcast not too long ago, I was talking to Carly Rose, who
yes.
has like a massive TikTok channel, right?
Yeah.
And she's just a wonderful person. And I was saying, she was saying it's gamifiable. Like if you understand the rules,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they change the rules. But if you
yeah.
understand for the most part what it is that TikTok wants,
yes.
then you'll show up on the algorithm more. And you came to mind, right? As I was chatting, I was I'm like, do you know Claudine? Because
oh,
Claudine
so nice.
Started her TikTok channel just recently, and she's got like 20,000 followers. And it's because you're like consistently, you're putting out content that people want to see. Fine, some videos get 10 likes, but others get 500 likes or thousands
That's
of likes.
It. Yeah.
And it's so cool that you've just stuck with it so consistently. And so tell me about that experience.
That was an experience. It continues to be an experience because
yeah.
I'm on TikTok. But once again, I think I do things and always just keep end goal in mind. That's sort of how I operate. So yeah, am I sometimes like feeling silly or whatever? Sure, of course. If you watch the TikToks, you'll know what I mean. But do I think that, again, when I read the comments and they're saying like, oh, thank you, I went to go to get my eyes checked, and oh, I was scared about this, blah, 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 and this really helped me, then I'm like, okay, it's really worth it. Because
yeah.
for the amount of me being ridiculous versus if I could help one person, then it's worth it to me.
That's very true. Not a big TikTok person.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of videos that did do well on TikTok, and like I have like pretty much not produced anything new on TikTok since then. I was like, oh, I had a couple big ones. What's your best video on TikTok?
Oh,
best like engagement or
best
whatever.
Engagement. I've had a couple. One is probably like the eye care, like taking pressure kind of thing. People.
Oh yeah, yeah.
yeah. Then I did one on eyelid twitch. Like different ones get like they blow up.
Yeah.
You never know.
You just never
you
know.
You just never know.
But you stick with it, and it's
yeah.
helped you grow the channel.
Because it's education, in my opinion. Despite the funniness of it, behind every TikTok, there's a message that I'm putting out there, and it's essentially. Your eyes are so important.
Yeah.
Go see your eye doctor. This is something that you should be doing every year. And just getting that message out and just
yeah.
bringing people back to their doctor's office if they hadn't thought about it.
No, that's excellent. You're educating and you got a call to action and all of those like
right.
to go in and get your eyes checked. Have you gotten patients that you've seen in person? And do you, as far as you can track it, have you gotten sales on Eyedrop Shop through social media?
So patients, yes, they'll find me on TikTok and then kind of book an exam, and it's so fun and they're so nice and it's great to have patients that way. And then in Canada, we can't kind of like link anything necessarily to a post.
Oh, right.
So it would be hard to track, but I'm sure there's more traffic on the site due to it.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Okay. And I would say one of your favorite posts is the one you did with your sister,
because yeah,
I think that was the post where everybody just found out that you have a sister.
Oh, she's the best. She's the most incredible human being.
She's also an optometrist.
She's also an optometrist.
And
she's
looks,
here.
Are you guys twins?
No, thank you,
you guys
very
look
much.
Alike.
Thank you. I appreciate it. She's 9 years younger than me. So
wow,
I always say, it's
wow.
cool now while I look
she's
like
a
twin. But in a couple years, I'll look much older and it will not be
That's
cool
so
for
funny.
Me. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'd
yeah.
like to meet her when
you,
if you get a
oh,
chance.
Yeah. We're going to for sure
Perfect.
Hook it up. She's
That's
in,
awesome.
Yeah. She's incredible. She
wow,
does dry eye too. Scleral lenses too. We did the whole same thing. Yeah. She's my bestie.
Gosh. She's 9 years younger than you? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And she's an optometrist.
Yes.
I didn't know you'd been practicing that long.
11.
Wow.
11 crazy. Years, yeah.
That's amazing. So, okay, back on topic here. Eyedrop Shop.
Yes.
Okay, so this is really the core of the discussion today is entrepreneurship. And especially within the profession, it's exciting that there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit, I feel like, over the last 5 years or so.
I've
been seeing it a lot more. Eventually, I'd love for you to kind of share your message of, like, if there's entrepreneurs out there who are starting out, what do you want them to learn? What do you want them to know from your journey? But before we get there,
yes,
Eye Drop Shop now,
yes,
has grown, is growing, partnerships, exciting things going on. Tell me about that. Like, there's some cool stuff going on right now.
Yes, definitely. So we just constantly look for new ways to innovate and to help patients and also to work with colleagues. So the newest partnership, which I'm so excited about, is with a company called Otto,
yeah,
which is an incredible company. Have you heard of them?
I have, yeah.
And
Otto Optics? Is
Otto
it?
Optics,
okay, yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So with this partnership, it'll allow any clinic to essentially have their own eye drop shop now.
Wow.
So the website will look like the clinic. They could set their own pricing. They could have their patients order contacts and all the 150 drops. And the clinic has no risk, no stocking, no nothing. It's
wow.
Just eye drop shop kind of slightly in the background doing all the dirty work for the clinic.
That's
like
amazing.
Doing the picking, packing, shipping, customer service. So we're so excited about that. I think that'll really change the game because
yeah.
Now it makes it like a turnkey solution
right.
For every optometrist to provide that care and that and what their patients want. So like we were saying before, the patient gets it at their optometrist
yeah.
And now they go directly on the optometrist website, not Eye Drop Shop, not
right.
Anyone else's. When I think about it, what would I want as an OD? I want my patients coming back to me thinking
yep.
Of my brand. So that's what we did. We heard that feedback and then we said, let's go. So us and Otto are making
amazing.
It happen.
Amazing.
Yes.
Incredible. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's
going to
be huge and definitely I'm going to be looking into that.
Yes, absolutely.
In the very near future.
Yes.
Is that only in Canada or is that in the States?
All across North America,
really?
Canada, the US. So we have two separate companies, right? So the US version of Eye Drop Shop contains only products that are FDA approved. The Canadian is only Health Canada. Everything is very clear. So the Otto and Eye Drop Shop partnership can happen in Canada, in the US.
Wonderful.
So it's open to all ODs.
Yeah.
It just makes it simple. And that's all I want in my life. I'm like, can you make this easy for me?
That's all we all, as I think optometrists, I don't know if it's maybe business people in general, but
yeah.
Optometrists are like that very much. Like, give me the easiest, just press a button and it works
because
kind of situation.
Also, like, we're doing other extremely important things,
sure.
Right? We're looking at retinal health. We're taking care of our patients. We don't want our tech who's currently like pre-testing or doing anything and contact lens teach be like, oh, sorry, hold on one second. I just got to go pack this box and I have to also call
yeah.
Canada Post
right.
And oh, we're out of this inventory. Like, I have to order. Like, there's a whole back end scenario that's difficult.
Yeah.
So we take that out of the way. And
that's
so
huge.
You could just say, yeah, like we have an online store now.
Incredible. Wow. Congratulations. Okay. So how do we do that? Like, how do we start that process if somebody wants to bring Eye Drop Shop onto their website?
Yeah. So basically, if they want a website that looks completely like their own and they have contact lenses and Eye Drop Shop embedded in it, then it would be to open an account with Otto. And that'll allow them to get the whole slew of things.
And Otto does contact lens sales.
They do contact lens and they create the website that looks and they have reminders for your patients.
Right.
So your patient's out of contacts or drops and Otto will send a reminder. So it's these little touch points during the year that keep your patient and you, your clinic, top of mind.
Yeah.
So if they need whatever else, if they need sunglasses, they're not going to go wherever. They'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go back to my OD and get
yeah.
it. You know?
Because we're in contact. That's one of the biggest things with us is we're always like, well, how often does the average patient come back? We say, okay, what is it? It's 20 something months, right?
Right.
Right. Or for their contact lens wear, it's like 17 months or something like that. But now we have the chance to be touching points every few months. Like, hey, you bought drops a little while ago, or you must be out by now. Would
yes.
you like some more? Here's a link to buy more. Same with the contacts. You're in their text messages and emails and everything like that way more frequently
right.
and top of mind. So that's amazing.
And how nice is that to also not have to think about it? Like, we know when you're going to be out, so you just have to press a button and then it'll show up at your door and you just move on.
There we go.
Do whatever you were doing.
Easy. As far as I know, Otto does integrate with the EMR to some degree. Is that right?
I have to check the specifics
yeah.
on EMR, but I'd have to check the specifics
okay.
on if they do.
That's
but
a question for Alex.
Yes, that's a question for
Alex.
Okay, perfect. We'll talk to
I'll bring Alex on. He can answer.
Okay,
that
yeah, that would be awesome.
What else with Eye Drop Shop is exciting you want to celebrate or share with us? Is there anything else going on or that's happened already perhaps that we should know about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I forgot to mention, though, with the Otto and Eye Drop Shop, the clinic gets to set whatever profit they want to
yeah.
make because that's a huge portion.
That's huge. That is.
So it's extremely huge. So they can kind of decide whatever margins they want,
I gotcha.
Right? So they could set their price on all their drops. So they would make, if we're talking business-wise, the same as if they did it in clinic yeah. on their own.
Which is important.
Having to do it, yeah.
Which is important because we've had that conversation before as we've thought on bringing on different sort of e-commerce options.
Right.
And in the past, there were options where it was like, we sell a drop for $30.
Exactly.
And on the e-commerce platform, it's $28. we're like, well, that's not like, what are our patients going to think? And they're not going to want to buy from us in store if they see online it's cheaper. They're going to feel like we're trying to gouge them or something.
Exactly.
So it's nice, and there's a consistency across the board.
Exactly.
Some people want to sell it for more, some less, whatever the case
might be. That's fine, but at least it matches your in-clinic price so that everything is cohesive.
Exactly.
But that's what I wanted to make sure that I mentioned because I had forgotten.
No, that's very important.
Yes.
Very important. Excellent. So what about this entrepreneurial journey then? Like, if you could distill it down to a couple of really key things that you've learned from setting up the website and boxing things up and taking it to the post office to bringing somebody on, now having multiple team members, creating these partnerships, all this way that you've come, what's like the first couple of things that come top of mind?
I think the most important thing is the team members and having members of your team that you trust and that are better than you in that field. I am not that type of person that wants to do it all. I feel like there's a purpose for that person to be part of our team and our company, and they should use their knowledge and run with it because it's an asset to our company. So I think that's a big one, to kind of not want to do it all yourself and kind of grind until like 6 in the morning, but hire well and then trust them to do their job correctly, and they will do tenfold as opposed to micromanaging people. So
right.
I think that's kind of one. Another would be to really prioritize sort of what you want to do. You could do 100 things.
Yeah.
Right? There's always
I'm a little ADD
things.
And that's it. Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, this is a new thing. I want to try that now.
Yeah, so prioritize, go for it. And to know, I mean, if you're in it, if you've got the grit to do it, that it involves hard work. And I don't think we should continue kind of saying like it's glamorous all the time.
Right.
To know that, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work hard. I mean, we're up from 5 in the morning with the kids, but like till dinner time, a little break. And then I'm working from 8 till 11 at night. Like it's
crazy.
Constant, but I'm doing things that energize me. And I think the goal is that if you find something you want to do that gives you that, like, you know, that feeling, that kind of like inside, that spark, that you don't feel tired, even though it's like 10 at night.
Yeah, kind of have that feeling right now, just so you know.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you're exhausted.
This is, I love doing this, but yes, tired from travel and everything at the conference. Like, no, so I absolutely know that feeling.
You know, like, you know when you've found what you love and you feel it, and it just like you have an energy, like you can't associate with anything. And then if you have that, you'll have the energy to do it and to work hard. But no, it takes hard work.
It does. It absolutely does. Absolutely. I wanted to actually, before we get kind of closer to wrapping up, you know, you talked about bringing team members on, staff on. Where in that journey did you determine, like, you had enough cash flow, you had enough volume? Like, what was it? Was there an obvious turning point for you, or was it something you thought about for a long time?
No, it kind of always just happened, in the sense, like, when we grew to a certain point where we could. I mean, at the beginning, you can't. It's a startup.
Yeah.
You must do it all yourself. I mean, depending if you take on investors or not, we hadn't. So we did it all ourselves. And then as it grew, you kind of learn as you go, oh, I would really need help in this area. And the truth is, I don't know, it just like found me. It's so weird and annoying of an answer, but it kind of like just when I needed it, these different people came into our surroundings, and then it just worked out that way.
Yeah.
If you're open to it and you're kind of like looking, it just flows.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. That's okay. If that's the answer, you put out the energy, you are looking for the cues, and perhaps you're more intuitive than me,
know,
who's kind of like, I don't know, no, not trying to say that, but like, actually, like sometimes it's a little harder to see, but it's can't take anything away from that, right? Some people have a knack for these things, and that's great if that's the case for you. And it's really nice to see that it's grown that way. Where can people find you on like TikTok and Instagram or wherever? Where can people find you? Where can they find like more out about the iDrop Shop and all this kind of thing?
So for iDrop Shop, it's iDropShop.ca in Canada, iDropShop.com in the US. If an OD is interested in having their own sort of link or just their link, we're going to talk about this next time, but they could have their own link just to the beauty side of the website, because some ODs already have a website. So that's another sort of option. And they could just reach out to me. I obviously speak to all ODs myself. I just find it so much fun. I love connecting and I enjoy it. So they could write me personally at my email, which we could link, or just my personal email, which I could give out gladly. And we could just chat
we'll put everyone out. Claudine's all personal information in the podcast notes or wherever. You'll see email or website links and whatever.
Perfect.
At the end of every podcast, I like to ask two questions. You listen to the podcast, so you know what
I do. I'm a fan. I feel like I'm on Oprah right now. I am on the Oprah of optometry. Like, I've made it. Do I just stop here? Like, am I done?
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I'm leaving.
Like, I'm with, like, Harbier. Like, what am I doing here? No?
That's amazing.
You agree.
He knows.
He knows.
You're too kind. I can't take a compliment. Thank you. The two questions I ask everybody at the end of the podcast. All right. Number one is, if we could go back, hop in a time machine and go back to a point in your life where you were struggling. That was a difficult time. You're welcome to share that if you're comfortable sharing that time. But more importantly, what advice would you give to young Claudine at that time?
Okay. Well, let's keep it to eyes. And
sure.
I feel like I studied day in, day out. And it was, I like really... Everyone was doing everything and I did like nothing at that point. I just really had committed to becoming like the best that I could be.
Yeah.
And so in school and stuff. And so I would say that if there's students who kind of feel that pain right now, who might be listening, that it's so worth it. And the little amount of time you sacrifice, because you always got to sacrifice at some point in time, you either pay now or you pay later,
that's
right?
True. Yeah.
So the little amount of time that you sacrifice, it will pay off in the future. And this is the most beautiful profession. And I'm so grateful and blessed to be part of it for real. And look, you could do so many things with it. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
So I think I would say everything's a phase, and the good is good and the not so good is not so good, but everything passes, and to just keep going, it'll be okay.
That's awesome. You just reminded me of a quote. You said pay now or pay later. It reminded me of a quote I heard recently. It was, if you think the cost of hard work is high, wait until you get the bill for regret.
There you go. Yeah.
Right.
There
I think that was a pretty powerful one.
It's so powerful.
That one stuck with me. So
yeah.
The last question I like to ask is, of course, everything you've accomplished so far, how much of it is due to luck and how much is due to hard work?
It would be a bit of both, 100%. I heard something recently that struck me, and tell me if you think it. So it was Kerry Washington. She was saying that if you want to catch the bus, you got to run really fast and you got to pray hard, right? Because if you run really fast and you don't pray, it could have not been your bus.
Right.
If you pray and you don't run, you're definitely not catching the bus.
I like that.
And then if you run and you pray and you don't catch the bus, that wasn't your bus.
So
I feel like there's a mix of hard work and being at the right place at the right time, and hopefully like putting out good vibes and being nice. I hope that one of my goals in my life, I mean, I have a couple kids, so I hope that they see this in the future. I hope to achieve success and do so by being just nice the whole way. I think like this concept of like you have to be this and that to be good in business, I want to prove it completely wrong. So I think that a little bit of luck and a lot of hard work and the fusion, I hope that's what's going to take me to keep going higher and higher.
That's amazing. I love it. And you have been putting out amazingly good vibes, and you have been genuinely, authentically a nice person the whole way.
Likewise.
And I think it's paying off, and I hope it does continue to.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep running for the bus and praying
right?
as well. I think I'm going to keep doing
that. That's it. A little bit of both.
Thank you so much, Claudine. I appreciate it. This is amazing.
Thank
and I
you.
Can't wait for the next one.
Me too.
Actually, let's quickly tease that one. We're going to talk about what in the next episode?
All things clean beauty. So everything you want to know in your practice to prescribe and recommend products that are going to stop hurting your patients' eyes. We're going to break it down, make it easy, go through different eye doctor created products, and just make it so that it's like a 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
This is what you got to do.
I love it. And what we talked about, I thought was, because I'd love to talk about these things to my patients, but I'm not always that comfortable talking about makeup and stuff like that, as important as it is. So Claudine's going to give us, those of us who are not so comfortable talking about these things, the tips on how to bring it up and how to have these conversations with our patients. So really excited. That's going to be very different from any conversation I've had on the podcast before. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Me too.
Thank you again.
Thank
you.
It's
been amazing.
Thank you so much.
And thank you everybody who's watching, listening, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in to the 2020 Podcast, Canada's number one optometry podcast. Which camera am I looking at here? Thank you guys, and we'll see you in the next episode.